Everybody.
Now, when he said Mike, you probably thought, who's this guy? Yeah, I've had a haircut. I was asked before whether I'd join the army. No. I'm fortunate enough to go on holiday later this week, so I've had a shave. And I wash my hair, etc. So this morning, what to start this morning with, just a simple question for you. Well, in fact, it's soon. But I wanted to ask yourself, so not just, it's a general thing, this is you talking to you. And the questions are, who am I and why am I here? Now, the who am I, that's okay. I think you can cope with that. You've got an idea of who you are. But why you're here is probably a double answer to that one. Because why you're here, as in Carmel Community Church on Sunday morning, and why you're here on this planet. So, if you ask those questions of yourself, and you start getting your mind thinking about those things, it'll give you an understanding of what I'm going to say this morning, and where I'm going with it. Where is he going with this? And I've got to answer these through three areas. Your body, your mind, and your spirit, or also your personality. So, the body. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, etc., etc. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Question for you now. I don't know if you've got any chemists in the house. Can anyone tell me what is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, calcium, and phosphorus? Anybody know? Connect. Us. That is us. If we were to be broken down into our component parts, that is who we are. Well, 99% of it. It does sound like one of Andy's least successful cakes, but no, it is us who we are. The rest is sulfur, potassium, sodium, chlorine, and magnesium. That is who you are. And these are represented in cells, tissues, organs, and systems. So that's who you're made of. Our bodies are also flesh, having perfectly natural desires. Hunger, thirst, love. But if you take these too far, then you'll end up with avarice, drunkenness, and lust. So we need a balance in our bodies to avoid that. In John 10:10 it says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So we're clearly told here, God just wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy life and our bodies. So we ask ourselves, what is there to enjoy? Well, Andy loves running the 5Ks on a Saturday morning. I think if most of us did that, it probably might be the last thing we do. But he enjoys it. Ray and the band, they love singing and playing. And it brings them joy. But it also brings us blessings. Bev enjoys chocolate. Yay. Not just her own chocolate, I can testify to that. And it brings her joy. She enjoys that halfway through a bar of chocolate. There's no better place. Because you've had half of it and it's wonderful. And you've got the other half to look forward to. It's the best place to be. And then other things include things like beautiful summer's day or being in the company of friends, maybe walking the dog. Oh, and having a hot bath. Yeah, that last one was mine. That's my joy. So if we ponder the magnificence of what God has created, when you look in the mirror, might you need? You might need to ignore a few of the blemishes. But you're a child of God. You're created by him in his image as it says in Genesis 1:26-27. So how great is our body? It perceives pain and generates antibodies to heal them. It renews outdated cells. It heals cuts, bruises, and broken bones. I mean, your eyes, they make out shapes and then make sense of them. And you even remember them so that later on you can think, oh, do you remember that I saw? Amazing. I think God, when he made our bodies, he did an excellent job. But what was the overriding reason that our bodies were created? If we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? Bit of water. So, what we can understand from this is that although our bodies have natural functions, and God wants us to enjoy them, the main purpose is to be a temple for the Holy Spirit, so he can work in us, live in us, to glorify God. So that's the body. Moving on to the mind. Minds are complex, powerful things, and our thoughts will shape who we are and who will we become. They also influence our physical well-being and our emotional state. Our mind controls everything in our body. That's why Paul warns us in Romans 12, verses 2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do not conform, but be transformed. What a simple message. But what a life-changing message, and a message to take with you every day. When you're coming across troubles, when you're coming across doubts, when something happens, don't conform. Don't just be like everybody else. Don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, there can be positive and negative aspects to the power of the mind. Unfortunately, recently, our two Premier League teams, local, haven't been doing too well. One of them in particular hasn't been doing well at all. And they played a number of games, and unfortunately they were losing to teams that were below them, although they didn't stay below them much longer because the team was kept going down. And so they were up against the top team in the country, and everybody said, well, how many goals is it going to be? Four, five, six? And interestingly enough, this team won against the top team. So the interviewer afterwards, you can imagine, oh, I've got to get the secret here. Oh, what's been going on here? So he gets the player in front of him. He says, can I ask you this question? You've got the same players. You've got the same fitness levels. You've got the same skill levels. So how did you beat this top team? Whereas before, you couldn't beat anybody. And the players stood there and just went like that. It was all in the mind. It is all about your mindset and the power of the mind to get you to do things and to believe in it and to have confidence in it. So any experience begins with a thought. So you might think, hot summer's day, I want an ice cream. And your taste will start to go, don't they? Something nice, a Ben and Jerry's or something. And then you start salivating, just thinking about it. Oh, this would be really nice. Before you know it, you've bought one. Started with a thought. But you don't have to be a slave to your mind. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And this is an example given to us by Solomon. It was a man who was known to be a bit stingy, thinking about the cost of what he was provided, but appearing to offer hospitality graciously. The reality was he was stingy, but he was trying to do it. Oh, look at me, aren't I being gracious? In his heart, he was stingy, and that's who he was. So it emphasises the connection between our thoughts and our behaviour. You are What you think, your thoughts, your beliefs impact powerfully on who you are and how you behave. If you're going to be known by what is in your heart, and your mind needs to be controlled by your heart. Your heart, therefore, needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we control our mind? I mean, I know here now, I'm not being critical, but some people will be thinking about, oh, what are we having for dinner? And other people will be thinking about, now I've got to go to work tomorrow. I've got to. That's what happens with our minds. Colossians 3, verses 2 says, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. And how do you do this? Reading the word, praying to God, keeping company with godly people. So that's the body, that's the mind. We move on now to your spirit or your personality. It's referred to in the Bible as pneuma, which means wind or breath. So your personality will define the type of person you are. So you might be quiet, you might be confident, you might be outgoing, you might be stubborn. But each of us is unique regarding our spirit and personality. Why? Because then it helps us reach people who are like us. God wants you to use your personality. Things that make you quirky, make you odd, or maybe there's attractive traits about you. You have got a unique brand of your spirit that some people may recognise and desire. So don't diminish who God made you to be. In Matthew 14, verses 28 to 31, it says, Peter, seeing Jesus walking on the water, said, Lord, if you tell me to come on the water, I will do. Jesus said, come. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Lord, save me, he cried out. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? So from a personality point of view, confident, brash Peter, in front of all the others, I could do this. He got out of the boat and he was replaced by the frightened Peter when he looked at his own circumstances. It was only when he took his eyes off Jesus that he began to sink. And to be honest, how many of us can testify to that experience in our lives, where when we've got our eyes on Jesus, amazing things happen. And then when we take them off him, unfortunately we can fall. So that's our spirit or our personality. But what about the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians 5, verses 17 to 18, we read, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this instruction, be filled with the Spirit, comes from the Greek word pleru. And it's what's called a continuous verb, which basically means this phrase is more accurately translated, being filled. So when Jesus says, be filled with the Spirit, he's actually saying, be being filled. So it's not a one-off event, that's it, and that's happened. It's an ongoing event. I suppose it's the difference between me having a drink of water from a cup, which will go, or me having water from a tap, which will flow and will flow. So, you need to give the Holy Spirit freedom to occupy every part of your life, guiding and controlling it, to live the life God intended for us by submitting to the presence and the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just honour a few people in church this morning, because when I was doing this, I was thinking about sometimes what happens in our meetings is somebody might sort of give a word in tongues, or somebody might interpret it, and those things go on, gifts of the Holy Spirit. But once we get beyond sort of Eddie and Linda and Beryl and Sylvia, it's quite a small group that seem to do that on a regular basis. And so this morning we need to be thinking about, well, what does God want me to do? Because we're a body. I know I've been talking about our body, but we're a body. We're a body in the church, and it needs to have all these things for it to function correctly and for us to worship God correctly. So what I want you to do this morning is to be having to think about what the Spirit can do for you. Now, my mother, God bless her soul, she's not with us anymore, was a massive fan of Jim Reeves. And Jim Reeves sang a lot of gospel songs. And there's just one that I know of that I'd just like to read you this morning, that you can think about, who am I and why am I here? Just hope that these words will speak to you. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Filled with thy Spirit, till all can see Christ only, always living in me. So what's going to happen now? Ray's just going to come up and he's going to minister to us. So what I'd like you to do this morning, if you're comfortable — don't make you uncomfortable — but if you're comfortable, I'd just like you to close your eyes and spend a minute now thinking about the Holy Spirit in your life. Whether it might be the first time you've thought about that and asked about that, it could be a number of times that you've done that. But for us in here this morning, it's just to welcome the Holy Spirit and just to allow him to just speak to us and sort of tell us where we should be, what we should be doing, and just basically to give ourselves over to him. Thanks, Ray. Over to you.